السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الناس، إن موضوع الإمامة والأذان في الإسلام موضوع عظيم لكونهما عبادتين عظيمتين، لذلك فإننا نجد الإسلام أولاهما عناية كبيرة، ولم يترك لأحد مقالا لا في بيان فضل الإمامة ولا في من يؤم القوم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: الإمام ضامن والمؤذن مؤتمن، اللهم ارشد الأئمة واغفر للمؤذنين. رواه أبو داود والترمذي وابن خزيمة وصححه الألباني رحم الله الجميع. وقد فسر صلى الله عليه وسلم معنى كون الإمام ضامن بقوله: من أما الناس فأصاب الوقت فله ولهم، ومن أنقص من ذلك شيئا فعليه ولا عليهم. رواه أحمد وأبو داود وابن ماجه وصححه الألباني. فإن كان الإمام معينا من قبل ولي الأمر فلا يتقدم عليه أحد ولو كان أحفظ أو أعلم منه، فإن كانت الإمامة تطوعا فالأمر كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا أم القوم أقرأهم لكتاب الله، وهو الأكثر حفظا والأصح قراءة، ولا دخل للصوت في ذلك البتة. فإن كانوا بالقراءة سواء فأعلمهم بالسنة، فإن كانوا في السنة سواء فأقدمهم هجرة، فإن كانوا في الهجرة سواء فأقدمهم سلما، وفي رواية سنا، ولا يؤمن الرجل الرجل في سلطانه، ولا يقعد في بيته إلا بإذنه، رواه مسلم. والإمامة بالإضافة إلى ما تقدم فإنها تصح من الحر والعبد، فأما الحر معلومة أحاديث، وأما العبد فقد قال ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما لما قدم المهاجرون الأولون العقبة، أي موضع قباء قبل مقدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المدينة، كان يؤمهم سالم مولى أبي حنيفة رضي الله عنهم، وكان أكثرهم قرآنا، رواه البخاري في صحيحه في كتاب الأذان باب إمامة العبد والمولى. وتصح الإمامة من المبصر كما تصح من الضرير، فأما الضرير فقد ثبت عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم استخلف ابن أم مكتوم يؤم الناس وهو أعمى في 13 مرة، رواه أبو داود وأحمد والبيهقي وابن حبان، وقال الألباني حسن صحيح. وتصح إمامة الرجل لامرأة من محارمه أو لجمع النساء، لما ثبت عند البخاري من أن ذكوان مولى عائشة رضي الله عنهم كان يؤمها حاملا المصحف. وتصح إمامة المرأة للمرأة وإمامتها لجمع النساء، لحديث أم ورقة بنت عبد الله بن الحارث أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يزورها في بيتها، وجعل لها مؤذنا يؤذن لها، وأمرها أن تؤم أهل دارها، رواه أبو داود وأحمد والحاكم والبياقي والدارقطني وابن خزيمة، وحسن إسناده الألباني رحم الله الجميع. فإذا أمت المرأة جمع النساء وقفت في وسطهن، لحديث أم سلمة رضي الله عنها أنها أمت نساء فقامت في وسطهن، رواه عبد الرزاق وابن أبي شيبة والشافعي في مسنده والدارقطني والبياقي. وتصح إمامة المسافر للمقيم، ولا بد أن يتم المقيم صلاته في حالة قصر المسافر الرباعية لفعله صلى الله عليه وسلم في فتح مكة، حيث قال للناس: أتموا صلاتكم إنا قوم سفر. وتصح إمامة المقيم للمسافر، ويتم المسافر صلاته ولو أدرك الإمام في التشهد الأخير. وتصح إمامة المتيمم للمتوضئ، لحديث عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه قال: احتلمت في ليلة باردة شديدة البرد في غزوة ذات السلاسل، فأشفقت إن اغتسلت أن أهلك، فتيممت ثم صليت بأصحابي الصبح، فذكروا ذلك لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال: يا عمرو، صليت بأصحابك وأنت جنب؟ فأخبرت بالذي منعني من الاغتسال، وقلت: إني سمعت الله يقول: ولا تلقوا أنفسك ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما. فضحك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يقل شيئا، رواه أبو داود والدارقطني والحاكم والبياقي وابن حبان والبخاري تعليقا، وصحح إسناده الألباني. وتصح إمامة المفترض للمتنفل، لما جاء عند أحمد والترمذي وأبي داود، وصححه الألباني عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أثر رجل عالم يتصدق على هذا فيصلي معه، وتصح إمامة المتنفل للمفترض لحديث جابر رضي الله عنه المتفق عليه أن معاذ رضي الله عنه كان يصلي مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم العشاء ثم يأتي مسجد قومه فيصلي بهم تلك الصلاة، ولم ينكر النبي صلى الله ولم ينكر عليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وتصح إمامة من صلى العصر، وتصح إمامة من يصلي العصر أو غيرها بمن يصلي الظهر أو غيرها إن اختلفت النيات فلا يضر، وتصح إمامة من يؤدي الصلاة بمن يقضيها ومن يقضيها بمن يؤديها. ودل على ذلك غير حديث ثابت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وتصح إمامة المفضول للفاضل لحديث المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء في غزوة تبوك، جاء في غزوة تبوك فوجد الناس قد صفوا خلف عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم فصف معهم، رواه البخاري. وتصح إمامة الفاسق الذي تصح صلاته لنفسه لما ثبت من أن جمعا من الصحابة صلوا خلف الحجاج ولم يروا بذلك بأسا. ولا تصح إمامة من علم منه عقيدة كفرية كعباد القبور، ولا تصح إمامة من يكرهه أكثر الجماعة، فإن كان الإمام غير ظالم فإنما الإثم على من كرهه ولا يترك هو إمامتهم. وقال أحمد وإسحاق في هذا: إذا كره واحد أو اثنان أو ثلاثة فلا بأس أن يصلي بهم حتى يكرهه أكثر القوم. وذكر أهل العلم أن كراهة المأمومين فيها تفصيل، فمراد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كرهوه بحق، أما إذا كانت كراهتهم له لأنه صاحب سنة أو لأنه يأمرهم بالمعروف وينهاهم عن المنكر فلا وجه للكراهة. وأما إذا كرهوه لشحناء بينهم أو لفسقه أو يشق عليهم أو لعدم عنايته بالصلاة أو عدم مواظبته فلا ينبغي أن يصلي بهم لأنه مسيء إليهم، فلا يجوز أن يصلي بهم في هذه الحال وهو داخل في هذا الوعيد في هذه الأحاديث. ولا تصح إمامة زائر قوم إلا بإذنهم لحديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: ولا يحل لرجل يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن يؤم قوما إلا بإذنهم. الحديث رواه أبو داود وصححه الألباني. ولا تصح إمامة رجل في مسجد قبل إمامه إلا إذا تأخر عن الوقت لما تقدم من حديث أبي هريرة والمغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنهم. وتصح إمامة البالغ لطفل وامرأة لحديث عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما، وفيه: فقام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي فقمت عن يساره فأخذ بأذني فأدارني عن يميني، رواه البخاري. وتصح إمامة الصبي للبالغين لحديث عمرو بن سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه كان يصلي بالناس إماما وفيهم أبوه، وهو يومئذ ابن ست أو سبع سنين. حتى قالت امرأة: ألا تغطون استقارئكم؟ فاشتروا قماشا فقطعوا لي قميصا فما فرحت بشيء فرحي بذلك القميص، رواه البخاري. فوا عجبا كيف يلغي هذا الحكم الثابت في صحيح البخاري أقوام لآراء رآها بعض الناس، ويبطلون صلاة الصبي المميز المدرك. ولا تصح إمامة المرأة للرجل ولو كانت أعلم منه، ولا تصح وذلك لما جاء عن عائشة رضي الله عنها فيما تقدم أنها كانت تأمر ذكوان مولاها يصلي لها، ولا تصح الإمامة من فاسق، ولا تصح الإمامة من فاسق مجاهر بفسقه، ولا من مجنون، ولا من غير مميز. وبعد عباد الله، فهذا فقه من فقه الصلاة مدعم بالدليل من كتاب الله ومن سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فعلينا إن رمنا السلامة والنجاة يوم القيامة علينا الرجوع إليه والتمسك به امتثال قول الله عز وجل: فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. وامتثال قوله سبحانه: ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصلي جهنم وساءت مصيرا. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله خالق الإنسان من طين، ثم جعل نسله من سلالة من ماء مهين، خلقهم حنفاء فاجتالتهم الشياطين، فأرسل إليهم أنبياء ومرسلين، فعلموهم ما لم يكونوا يعلمون، فمنهم من هدى الله، ومنهم من حقت عليه الضلالة، وما ربك بغافل عما يعملون. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد عباد الله، فإن الأذان له في الإسلام أهمية قصوى، ذلك أن به يشرع الدخول في الصلاة وهي لا تصح قبله ولا تقبل. لذا جعل الإسلام الأذان مهمة من يقدرون على تمييز الأوقات حفاظا على دخول الصلوات. ولذا يشجع الإسلام على رفع الأذان فيقول صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤذنون أطول الناس أعناقا يوم القيامة. رواه مسلم من طريق معاوية بن أبي سفيان. وهنا تم أمور تتعلق بالأذان والمؤذنين. أولا، إذا كان المؤذن راتبا معينا من قبل ولي الأمر أو ممن له صلاحية ذلك، فلا تصح الصلاة بأذان غيره إلا بإذنه، إلا إذا تأخر وقد دخل الوقت. ثانيا، إن أذن مؤذن راتب لم يجز لغيره أن يقيم الصلاة إلا بإذنه، أو أن يكون خارج المسجد لعذر وقد حل الوقت للإقامة، قياسا على ما جاء في حديث عبد الرحمن بن عوف سالف الذكر، وفيه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في تبوك تأخر عن الصلاة فصلى عبد الرحمن بالناس. ومنها أنه يصح أن يكون الأذان الأول من واحد والثاني من آخر غيره، لما صح عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: لا يغرنكم أذان بلال، فإنه يؤذن بليل، فإذا أذن فكلوا واشربوا، فإن أذن ابن أم مكتوم، فأمسكوا، فإنه لا يؤذن حتى يقال له أصبحت. ومنها أن يكون الأذان للقضاء، ويكون الأذان للقضاء كما يكون للأداء، فمن فاتته صلاة أذن لها عند قضائها وأقام. ويصح الأذان من المرأة والفتاة المميزة إذا كانت في محيط النساء ولا يسمعها الرجال. ويصح الأذان من صبي مميز قياسا على أذان الأعمى. ولا يصح أذان الفاسق المجاهر بفسقه، ولا المجنون، ولا غير المميز، ولا المرأة للرجال. نسأل الله الهداية للجميع والتوفيق والسداد، ونسأله الهدى والتقى، وأن يرينا الحق ويرزقنا اتباعه، وأن يرينا الباطل باطلا ويرزقنا اجتنابه. وصلوا وسلموا على من أمرتم بالصلاة والسلام عليه بقوله عز وجل: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. فاللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وأنعم على نبينا وحبيبنا وسيدنا وقرة عيوننا محمد النبي المصطفى والحبيب المجتبى وآله وتابعيه برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Thank you.
الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أياكم الله. Dear brothers and sisters, to the translation of this khutbah. Which we began with khutbah al-hajah.
and we say titled it by the fiqh of the prayer imam and the muazzin. Verily the subject of the prayer imam and calling the adhan is very important. It has the highest rank in Islam. For that, these are two great worships. And that's why we find Islam gave them much care and left nothing for anyone to say about in regard to the merits of the two positions, nor in the issue of who can perform them. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as in the hadith reported by Abu Dawood, At-Tirmidhi ibn Khuzaymah, and authenticated by Albani, Al-Imam Ubamin, the Imam is responsible of the prayers of the people behind him. Wal-Mu'adhin Mu'taman, and also the one who calls the Adhan has a great responsibility, meaning in regard to the time of the prayer. So he must know the times of the prayer. He does not just call the Adhan whenever he thinks is, or whenever he just wishes to call the Adhan, but he must do his best to know that the time has entered. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam obligated for both the Imam and the Muaddin and said, Allahumma arshid al-a'imma, O Allah, give guidance to the Imams, waghfir al-mu'adhdin, and forgive the ones who call for Adhan. Verily, since we see, verily if the Imam is assigned by the Muslim ruler, or by one who is responsible of the masjid, then no one has the right to come and take the position of Imam, even for one single prayer, without the permission of this Imam, whatsoever he is, much better memorizer, or he has much more knowledge than the Imam. He still does not have the right to come and lead the prayer without the permission of the Imam. As if the Imam is not assigned by no one, but it is voluntarily, then the matter goes back to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it is Sahih Muslim, the one who leads the prayer must be the one who has more Quran than everyone else. And this means the one who memorizes more and the one who recites better, meaning with the ruling of recitation, not the beauty of voice. As voice, something you cannot hear. And Islam is only rewarding you for what you hear. And it encourages you to go and learn, but voice, you cannot change your voice. So if they are all equal in the amount of Quran that they memorizes, then we check the one who has more sunnah, meaning more knowledge of the sunnah than the other. If they both are equal in the Quran and the sunnah, meaning same amount of Quran they memorize and same fiqh of sunnah they have, then we check the one who migrated first. So if they were in migration the same, then the one who is older in Islam, the one who embraced Islam first, or who is older in age. And then Isa Salam said, and no one should lead the prayer in the territory of anyone except with his permission. Meaning, you go to the house of anyone, you go to the office of work, place of work of anyone, you cannot lead the prayer from your own, thinking that I am better than him. But he must permit you or invite you to lead the prayer. And no one to sit in the house of anyone except with his permission. Except with his permission. Meaning, you know today a person inviting 1, 2, 3 people. You know that. So you come with one of them. You cannot sit until you get permission. You cannot sit until you get the permission from him. Not like this big mess happening today. Besides all what been said about the imam position and the muazzin position, here are some things we need to clarify. First about the imam, and in the second part of the khutbah about the muazzin. Imam can be a free person as well as he can be a slave, no problem. As Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, when the muhajirin, the first muhajirin came first to the Aqaba, and the Aqaba means the place of Quba today. Before the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina, at that time, a man called Salim, a slave of Abu Hudayfa, used to lead the prayer. He used to lead the prayer, and behind him, many great Sahaba, Arabs, and from Quraysh. So this does not relate to that. The one who has more Quran. The one who has more Quran, the one who has more Sunnah. It is not who has a best lineage or a better voice. No. Today, as Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, that there will be a time when people invite only one with nice voice, even if he's young, just to sing them. As he said, to sing for them. So that is what's happening today. The imam, the good imam, is the one who has the best voice. That's it. Regardless the sunnah, regardless whatsoever. Regardless all that. That's what people look today for, which is totally wrong. The Prophet ﷺ heard Ibn Mas'ud reciting and he cried. He heard Abu Musa al-Ash'ari reciting and he told him, you are given a mizmar from the mizamir of Ali Dawood, meaning a very nice voice. But yet, he did not allow no one of them to lead the prayer. But he said, tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. Tell Abu Bakr. Because Abu Bakr has more Quran, more fiqh of the Sunnah, more feeling of Allah. That's what the important characteristics of the Imam. Not as it is corrupted today. This hadith which you mentioned of Ibn Umar reported by Bukhari. And Bukhari in his book As-Sahih held a book called the Book of Adhan. In it, a chapter titled by the chapter of a slave being an imam. Like that. To make it clear that it's not based on recipe, but based on knowledge, memorizing Quran, taqwa. That's it. The second is that both can lead the prayer. The one, the blind one, as well as the one who sighs. As for the blind one, the hadith is authentic from Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to command Ibn Ummi Maktoum, Amr Ibn Ummi Maktoum, the blind, to lead the prayers whenever he is out of Medina. And this happens for 13 times as Abu Dawood said. And this hadith is reported by Abu Dawood, Ahmad al-Bay'aq ibn Hibban, and al-Bani said it is sahih as in sahih Sunan Abi Dawood. The third is that the man can be imam for a woman who is from his maharim, when it is only one single woman. You cannot just go and lead one single woman which is not your maharim. That's not correct. But a group of women who are not your maharim, yes, it's allowed. As for one single woman, must be of your maharim, otherwise no. As in the hadith which is reported by Bukhari, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she used to ask Zakwan, her slave, and you know the slave is like the mahram. The slave can yani sit to the master female, no problem for that. So he's like a mahram. So she used to ask him, lead the prayer for yani him and her alone, and he used to lead the prayer carrying the mushaf, carrying the Quran. The woman can be in the imam position when it is leading either a woman or a group of women. As in the hadith of Umm Waraka, the daughter of Abdullah ibn al-Harith, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come and visit her in her house, and he assigned a muaddin for her, and then he commanded her to lead the prayer, yani with a group of women, to lead the prayer, as in the hadith reported by Abu Dawood, Ahmad al-Hakim al-Bayhaq al-Darqutni ibn Khuzaymah, and authenticated by al-Bani. And whenever the woman leads the prayer, then she has to stand in the middle of the first row, not in front of them, but along with them, on the same row, not even one step to the front, because some people think that the imam must be 1 inch advanced to the front. This is wrong. Parallel to them, same as they are. And this is for the hadith of Umm Salama, reported by Abdul Razzaq ibn Abi Shayba, Shafi'i in his Musnad, Darqutni al-Bayhaqi. The imam can be a traveler and lead one who is a citizen, who is not traveling. But this one who is not traveling must complete the prayer when it is 4 rak'ah prayer, even if the imam shortened his prayer. As in the hadith when Rasulullah sallam came in the tank of Mecca and led the people, after he done 2 rak'ah, he made salam and he said, complete your prayer as we are travelers. He commanded the people of Mecca to complete their prayer as he and some other Jews were travelers. Also, the imam can be a traveler, can be a resident, leading the prayer of travelers, no problem. So the imam can be a traveler and the people behind him be residents. But these residents must do the complete prayer, because they are residents. The imam can also be a resident and all the people behind him be travelers. Now, these travelers cannot shorten. Even if they catch the imam in the last assembly, just before the salah, they still need to do 4 rak'ah. Dhuhr, Asr, Isha. They cannot trust him. The imam, who performed tayammum still can lead the prayer with people who had wudu. Although wudu is better than tayammum, but yet the one who had tayammum still can lead the prayer, no problem. As in the hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said, I had a dream. I jacked as a dream at a dream in a very cold night in the battle of Dat al-Salasa, called Dat al-Salasa. So I was scared that if I or now, if I do ghusl, I may die or suffer. So I only done tayammum, and then I led the prayer of Fajr, and all the companions were behind me. So when they went back to Medina, they mentioned that to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who called Amr and said to him, "Oh Amr, you led your friends with while you were on janaba, while you were impure." Amr said, "I told him what made me not to take shower." And then I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I hear Allah saying, as in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 29, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't kill yourselves. Don't kill yourselves. Amr said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laughed, and then he did not say anything. Meaning did not say, you're wrong, or you have to redo your salah. And this hadith is reported by Abu Dawood, Dharqutni, Al-Hakim, Al-Bayhaqi ibn Hibban, and Bukhari Ta'liqan. And we mentioned this statement, Bukhari Ta'liqan, many times. We said that when Bukhari finds a hadith that he likes, and he finds it authentic, but not on his way of narration, he does not bring it in the series of a hadith of his. But he put it on the title. He just say, the Sahabi said, Rasulullah said, without the chain of narration, and on the title of the chapter. That's it. So that is the meaning ta'liqan. But when you see it, you know that it is authentic. So, and this hadith is authenticated by Albani as in Sunan Abi Dawud, volume 1, page 68. And also, the one who is doing his fard prayer, obligatory prayer, still can lead the one who is doing a nafar. As it is in Musnad Ahmad, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan Abi Dawud, and authenticated by Albani, on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a man in the masjid after he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the prayer. He saw a man praying alone, came late. So he said to the Sahaba, isn't there any man of you, go and do sadaqah for him? Meaning, and he said, pray with him. So when you pray with someone who's doing his fard and you're doing your nafl, this is sadaqah. This is sadaqah. And also, the one who is doing nafl still can lead the people who are doing fard. This is also with the dalil, as in the hadith, which is agreed upon on the authority of Jabir radiallahu anhu, who said that verily Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to pray with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Isha prayers, and then he goes back to his people who would be waiting for him to lead them in the Isha prayer, and he used to lead them in that prayer, him as nafl, they as farad. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say nothing about that. Also, it is okay if the imam is leading, if the imam is doing asr prayer and the one behind him is doing dhuhr. Even if the intention is different, no problem. No problem. Some of the ulama say two things when found together will make it not correct. The intention and the way of performance. The intention, like asr and dhuhr, the intention is different. But asr and dhuhr, the performance is the same. Silence, silence, for rak'ah, for rak'ah. They say if one is doing Isha and one who did not do Maghrib come, he cannot join him with Isha, with Maghrib, with the teaching of Maghrib. They said that he can join, he will have to join with the intention of nafl and pray exactly like the imam for rak'ah, and after that he prays Maghrib 3 rak'ah and then Isha 4 rak'ah. But honestly, after researching and studying all the evidences of all the opinions, we find many different opinions. Some say the Maghrib one joined the Isha one and he prayed behind him, and when the Isha imam, the imam of Isha, stands for the fourth rak'ah, this Maghrib one sits and does his tashahud quickly and makes salam and joins the imam in the imam's last rak'ah, which would be his first rak'ah in Isha, which there is no dalil for that, honestly. Although, who said that is one of the most beloved imams of our time, Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah. But we are commanded to follow the dalil. As he, rahimahullah ta'ala, used always to say to the students. So, as Imam Ibn Qayyim said, when he had a statement from Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, which had no dalil, but it was sad, meaning no dalil for Ibn Qayyim to know. Maybe Ibn Taymiyyah had a dalil. Maybe Ibn Uthaymeen had a dalil, but I did not come across it. So I will not take it until I see the dalil. Ibn Qayyim said, Shaykh al-Islam is Habib. Meaning, I love Shaykh al-Islam, is Shaykh. But Islam is more Habib than Shaykh al-Islam. But Islam is more beloved than anyone else. We are not going to leave Islam because of Shaykh al-Islam. No. So same thing. And the proper opinion in this issue is that when the two things are different, you cannot be a muqtadi of this imam anymore. Or you do it as optional and then you replay the two prayers in order, Maghrib and then Isha. Meaning if you come with the intention of Maghrib and you find the jama'ah doing the Isha, you should not join them with the intention of Maghrib, but with the intention of nafl. And if they pray two rak'ah, you pray two rak'ah. If they pray four rak'ah, you pray four rak'ah, because it is nafl. And then you do Maghrib, and after it you do Isha. That's the proper opinion I found. Wallahu a'lam. Also, it is permissible for the one who is doing the imam who is doing iqada to lead the one who is doing ada, meaning for the time. Yani, example, the imam is doing qada for Isha yesterday, he missed it and he just remembered it, and it is time for Isha now. Those who come, they still can pray behind him. Why? Because the prayer is the same. The time of the prayer is the same, Isha and Isha, and the performance is the same. Only the intention is different, so it's no problem. So it's no problem. The opposite is also correct. One who is doing ada, meaning for the time, can lead the one who is doing qada as for what he missed yesterday. Also, it is permissible that one who is lower than the other can lead the prayer. Meaning, if we have a alim and the talibul ilm, still talibul ilm can lead the alim, no problem, can lead the prayer with the alim. No problem with that. Especially if this talib al-ilm is the assigned imam of the masjid. Unless if he permitted the imam to, the alim to lead the prayer. or if they are not in a masjid, or this talib al-ilm is not the assigned imam of the masjid, but the alim said to him, lead the prayer, no problem to lead the prayer. As what happened in Ghazwat Tabuk with Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, when Rasulullah ﷺ came and found him leading the prayer. So he just prayed behind him. Same thing with Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. When he told Aisha, tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer. And then when Abu Bakr was leading the prayer, he ﷺ came and joined. So all these cases, yani, is okay. The Imam who is fasiq, fasiq means a disobedient. His salah is acceptable, except if he is someone who is too bold of his arrogance, fisk, or yani he does the fisk, he doesn't care of any. For example, if he smokes, but he doesn't show people, he hides himself and smokes, his salah is still acceptable, even if we know that he's someone who smokes. But if he comes to smoke in front of people, he doesn't care, then no, we should not let him pray. Or lead, sorry, we should not let him lead the prayer. Except if he is imam assigned by the ruler, we cannot then break it. And the dalil for that is what happened at the time of Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was a fasiq. He's not a smoker, but he's a killer. And it cannot be a smoker, a fasiq, and a killer. A destroyer is not a fasiq. So he's a fasiq. He's a Muslim, but he's a fasiq. So the Sahaba, the life of Ibn Umar ibn Abbas, used to pray behind him. Right? And also there is another dalil that I did not mention in the hadith where Rasulullah said that there will be rulers who delay the prayers until the time is over. Then they yani perform it. So Isa said to the people, you pray with them. You pray at home for the time. And then you come and join them in the masjid. Okay? And then he said, and also, it is not permissible to pray behind an imam that you know that he carries aqidah of kufr, like those grave worshippers. But the clear grave worshippers. And we must differentiate between the kufr and the bid'ah. The one who seek intercession with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is bid'ah. But the one who directs the dua to him, Ya Rasulullah, give me this, this is kufr. So we have to know the difference before we come and judge anyone. Also, the imam whom most of the people in the masjid hate him, they don't want him to lead the prayer, his prayer is imam position is not authorized, is not accepted. But if the imam is not an oppressor, he's okay, only the people yani hate him for nothing, then he should not leave the imam position, and the sin is upon those who hate him for nothing. Maybe they hate him because of his color. Maybe they hate him because his tribe. This is nothing. He should not leave the position. And they must know that they are sinners by this hatred. As Imam Ahmad and Ishaq ibn Raya said in this, they said, if only one who hates the imam is only one, or two, or three, he doesn't care. He just continues leading the prayer. Whatsoever. He said, up until the majority of the masjid hate him, then it is going to cause fitna. So he must stop. Some of our al-ilm said, the hatred from the ma'mumin must be on details. It's not like that. As the Prophet ﷺ only meant by hate the Imam, the hatred with haq, with right, not just like that, unjust. And then they say, as if their hatred to him is because he is a person of sunnah. He calls to the sunnah. So they don't want him. He should not care about that. Or it is because he called him to the ma'roof, to the good, and warned him from the munkar, the evil. If this is the reason of hating him, he should not care about them, even if they all hate him. Why? Simply because the Prophet ﷺ was hated by the munafiqeen who used to pray behind him. They used to hate him. But their hatred was not right. Was not wise. So he even did not care about them. And but if the hatred is because of, you know, some kind of personalities and kind of personal things or because he is too harsh with them, or because he does not take care of salah, or he always late and he doesn't come in time, that's why they hate him, then he must not lead the prayer. And he must know that with these reasons, if he leads the prayer, he's a sinner. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, his prayer would not be raised above his head. Meaning it's not going to be accepted. When a man is a guest of someone, he should not lead the prayer in the house of this person until the owner of the house permits him. The host permits him. As in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لِرَجُلٍ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ أَنْ يَأُمَّ قَوْمًا إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِمْ. Isa said, it is not permissible for a man who believes in Allah on the day of resurrection or the other day that he leads people except with their permission. And this hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and authenticated by Al-Bani. It is also not permissible for a man to lead the prayer in a masjid where there is an imam. Because some people just come and say, call the iqama, and then he jumps in and lead the prayer. He must know that his prayer is not accepted. And those people behind him, who allowed him, they must know that their prayer is not accepted. They all have to pray again. And behind the imam. As in the hadith, except if the imam is late, and the time of salah is there. As in the hadith of Abu Huraira and Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah. As well, when the Prophet ﷺ was late and Abdul Rahman bin Auf led the prayer. And the adult can lead the prayer when the people behind him are under age of maturity. As in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, reported by Bukhari, where he said that I stood to the left side of the Prophet ﷺ, and then he took me from my ear and turned me to the other side, to his right side. As well as the adult leads the adult, the child who is below age of maturity still can lead the prayer, even who behind him are all adults or even men. As in the hadith of Amr ibn Salama, who radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said that he used to lead the prayer while all the people behind him were adults, including his father. And he, as he said, he was only 6 years or 7 years old. 6 years or 7 years old. And this hadith, by the way, is in Bukhari, in Sahih al-Bukhari. How come we reject this. It is inside al-Bukhari. Not only that, he said, and a woman then said, should you not cover the back of your imam? Back meaning the awrah. And he used to expose because he was a child. And because he was poor, his clothes were short. And then he said, then they bought clothes and they made me a thobe or a cloak that I never was happy of any gift as I was happy of that gift. So this proves clearly that the child who knows the prayer and knows how to pray can lead the prayer, no doubt. No doubt. The woman cannot lead the man in the prayer even if she is much more or has much more ilm than him. As in the hadith of Aisha, that she used to lead the Quran, her slave, to lead her in the prayer. Although she was one of the greatest scholars amongst the Sahaba. The Imam who is fasted, as we said earlier, if he yani, do his fisk openly, then he must not lead the prayer. Also, the mad Imam, the Majnoon, his salah is not, his Imam is not acceptable. Even if he come sometimes and sometimes mad, it's not acceptable. And also the child who is under age of, or not under age, who cannot distinguish what is good, what is bad, he does not understand the command, this kind of child, he cannot lead the prayer. But as long as he understands, you ask him, what's your name? And he goes, my name is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. If you tell him, what is this? He says, this is a book. What is this? This is Quran. And like that, who gives proper answers, then this one can lead the prayer. Can lead the prayer. But other than him, no. And then I said, oh slaves of Allah, this is just one portion of the fiqh of salah, supported by the dalil from the Quran and the sunnah of Rasulullah, which we have to go back to and grasp on it if we want to be protected in this life world and in the hereafter. As Allah Ta'ala said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Nay, by your Lord, they would not be believers up until they take you as a judge in all what they have conflict about, and then they would not find any they would not be hesitant to accept whatever judgment you made, and they have to submit to it completely. And as Allah Ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولِ, whoever opposes the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after the guidance is clearly exposed to him, given to him, and he decides to take a route other than the route of the believers, then Allah Ta'ala said that he is going to let him go to what he chooses, and at the end, at the hereafter, he is going only to put him in Jahannam. And what an end is it? This was the first part of the khutbah. The second part we began by praising Allah, the creator of man from clay, and then the one who made his children out of water, and he created them all hunafa, meaning upon the proper aqidah, but the shayateen, the devil, came to take them away from the right path. So Allah Ta'ala sent them prophets and messengers. And these prophets and messengers taught people what they did not used to know of the religion. But some of them Allah Ta'ala gave guidance, and some of them Allah Ta'ala misguided because of what they earned. And Allah Ta'ala is not, and Allah Ta'ala is aware of all what you do. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah without any partners, I bear witness that Muhammad is a slave and messenger of Allah. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, his family, his companions, and all those who follow him up until the day of resurrection. Afterward, all slaves of Allah. Verily, the Adhan has the same importance in Islam as the Imam. Adhan position is as important as the Imam position. As with the Adhan, we can know when the time of the prayer begins, and the prayer is not acceptable before it, even a minute. That's why Islam clarified the issues of Adhan very well, and he and Islam made it clear that the Adhan is the duty of those who can distinguish between the times of the prayers, so to protect the prayers of people. And that's why Islam encouraged people to go for calling the Adhan. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, المؤذنون أطول الناس أعناقا يوم القيامة. Those مؤذنون, the Adhan callers, will have the longest neck on the day of resurrection. What does that mean? It means that when the sun comes closer and the sweat goes high, it cannot reach their mouth or nose. So they are protected. And this hadith, by the way, is reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And here are some things also related to the Adhan and the Mu'addin. If the Mu'addin is assigned by the Muslim ruler or by the one who has the authority over the masjid, then no one should raise the Adhan except with the permission of the Mu'addin. Or if the Mu'addin is outside and late, no one knows where he is, or even they know, but for example, he's in the toilet, he cannot come, and it is the Adhan now, so we don't delay the Adhan, we just call the Adhan. The second issue of the Adhan is that if the Mu'addin is assigned, as you said, no one should raise the Adhan except with his permission. And this is as in the hadith of leading the prayer, as Abdurrahman ibn Auf did. No one used to lead the prayer at the time of Rasulullah sallam, except in that incident when Rasulullah sallam was late. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf led the prayer. Same thing, if the Mu'addin is late and it is time for Adhan, we can raise the Adhan, no problem. But we make sure that it is the time for Adhan. As many people, if they don't like the Mu'addin, or they like to make the Adhan, they don't ask any permission, they come 1 minute earlier, and they just call the Adhan. This type of Adhan, Salah is not acceptable with. We must have the proper Adhan. And from the issues of Adhan is that the first Adhan, and wherever there are two Adhan, like Fajr and Jum'ah, the first Adhan can be from Imam, and the other Adhan from another Imam, no problem. As in the hadith where Rasulullah ﷺ said, do not consider the Adhan of Bilal is the Adhan with which you stop eating, drinking on the nights of fasting. As Bilal only calls the Adhan in the night just to awake the people for Sahur or Witr. And then he said, but if Ibn Ummi Maktoum, who is the blind, calls, then you halt, because you would never call the Adhan until people pass by him and say, it is morning, it is morning. The Adhan is essential for qada. When you miss any prayer, many people just come and make iqama. I don't know why. If you don't want to make adhan, why you make iqama? If you make qada, you need to make the adhan. Adhan and iqama. Not on the speakers, but for yourself. And also the adhan is permissible for a woman and a girl who distinguish what is good, what is bad, if they are within the parameter of women only, no men. I don't mean no stranger men, no men at all. No men at all. As if there is any man, the man should call the adhan, not the woman. Even if the man is a child, even if the man is a child, and this is his mother, who is a scholar, still she cannot call the adhan when there is a man. This is not because we belittle the woman, no. But this is because Allah, who created them, wants it to go this way. So we cannot sit. We'll have to obey. And the adhan is permissible for a boy who, as we said always, can distinguish between the good and bad. As the adhan of the blind, because the adhan is related to knowing the time, not the age, not memorizing. Rasulullah ﷺ did not say, and the one who has more Quran will call the adhan. No. The adhan is only related to knowing the times of the different prayers. Okay? The blind would never ever know. But Rasulullah ﷺ considered this adhan, his adhan, is the authentic adhan for prayer. So the child who know or who adults tell him it is time for adhan, please call the adhan, then no problem. And the adhan, we need to look for the one who has a better voice and stronger voice. When we say a better voice, we do not mean music, like many muazzineen today do. Even in the two haram, two holy mosques, some of them go to the extent of music. And unfortunately, I saw an interview, TV interview with one, main one of them, and he said that they study the musical scales. Said, subhanAllah. No, it is not. And his voice is so beautiful. So beautiful. So you don't, when your voice is so beautiful, you don't need for the scales. He just called the adhan normally and people will like him. Because people are not now coming for your nice voice, people are coming for your nice performance of this musical scale. That's why they are coming, and that's why they are preferring you. But there are muadzineen, mashallah, nice voice, like some I know in Mecca and Medina, nice voice without any musical, nice adhan, normal adhan. This is very important and beautiful. The adhan cannot be raised by a fatiq, who, as we said in the imam, who doesn't carry just a muadzin who also sings. This is not acceptable. A muadzin who goes to the coffee shop where they serve hubbly bubbly and sits in front of everybody smoking pipe or drinking or whatsoever, this is not acceptable. It's not a joke. This is religion. It's not a joke. So whoever has the authority must correct this or terminate these people. Because this is worship. It's not something, it's not a joke, it's not a tradition. We're not just implementing it because we inherited it from our fathers. No, no. This is deen. This is religion. As well as the madman cannot raise the adhan, and whenever he raises the adhan, we cannot hold the prayer with it. Same thing with the child who cannot distinguish the good and bad. And same thing, the woman, when she raises the adhan, if there are men. And not like now, some voices raised from the west for women to call the adhan, women to lead the prayer, women to give the khutbah, women to be the judge, women to do many things, And I don't know if this is, exchanging the positions, and later on we see man get pregnant, man breastfeed. What is that? What is that? Allah Ta'ala created them this way and He commanded them to be on these duties. They cannot change it. They cannot change it. Everyone must remain as Allah Ta'ala wanted them to be. Any changes in that will be a big corruption and will only earn the anger of Allah, which brings the punishment, which brings the punishment. And this is the Ikhwan, first time when someone changes the law of Allah intentionally, thinking that it is better, believe me, is worse than the pure kafir. Wallahi, is worse than the pure kafir. Because this man knew the truth, know the haq, but he opposes it willingly because he disrespects Allah Ta'ala. So he is worse than the pure kafir. May Allah Ta'ala guide us to the haq and keep us upright until we stand before Him. Wallahu A'lam. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.